Welcome, sports fans, to the bowl edition. Here we go, college football bowl game edition of the Wim Hill Sports Show. We're coming to you live from the Club County Eva, right outside the Wim Hill Racing Sportsbook. I'm Kenny B., your host, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Josh?
Ken, how are you?
Good, bud. How many articles do you have on Sportsline right now?
A ton. I said we're hitting the ground running with everything. Of course, bowl season we know is in full effect now. We got the Wim Hill Bowl contest. I've been doing some cards. But with that, you know, we're doing full previews on all, 439 Division I bowl games and other FCS one, you know, keeping me plenty busy along with everything else. Weekly NFL, NBA, it's all pretty much every sport.
Being a journalist or writer, and this is probably a silly question, but you obviously like writing. I mean, do you ever just say wake up and go, gosh, I have to do an article, or is
yeah.
it something?
And it's one of those things where anything else you're, I have a passion for, but at some point, as with anything you do a lot, it's still work, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with what we do on Sportsline, the writing element of it is less at a premium than the information like we give out here, right? It's all about, you know, providing the correct handicapping angles and hopefully keeping my head above water with the records, with all the, you know, projected picks and everything I give out. You know, in terms of being a pure sports writer, which I sort of am at the core, that sort of gets lost. That's the thing I sort of miss a little bit. It's actually writing like a great feature story on a player you spent half an hour interviewing in the locker. You know, I don't really do it that much these days. I still like to think, you know, fairly, whatever, clever and a decent wordsmith, but it's all in the context of, you know, giving you the winner in tomorrow's game.
Do you get writer's block?
Sometimes. And there are times, Ken, you're right. Sometimes I wake up some days, I'm just not feeling it. You know, get my coffee, I sit at the computer, I'm like, again, you know, yeah. 2,000 more words today. And I just want to die.
Do you get out giving winners block?
Sometimes that, too. Although lately, I got to say, I've been on a pretty good streak. And if you go to Sportsline right now, my season record on Sportsline is almost 61%
wow.
for college football. And I'm off to 8-1 start in college basketball.
Wow. John the Hawk Stevens.
You want to do a story on me?
Sure.
All right,
you have to tell me your story off air. Sometime.
You don't want to know. I don't think you can handle it.
Okay, we'll see.
I don't think the public can handle it.
It's a story written for Hustler.
It's true.
With that being said, so John the Hawk Stevens sitting across from
yes,
you.
Sir.
Welcome, John.
Thank
I see you got your Battleborn hat on.
I'm Battleborn.
Man, you fired up for tonight, John?
I'm ready.
Let's talk a little bit about it. Arizona State,
yes.
Nevada Wolfpack, Staples Center tonight. Tip off at 9 p.m. Looks like it's on ESPN2. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Absolutely
Sorry.
Correct. You know, and let's talk a little bit about the game. You know, we have Arizona State coming in. This isn't an enormous game for Nevada. You know, it's their only is this their only scheduled Q1 game. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and so you know you have Arizona State. Right now they're 7-0 undefeated team, one of only 11 undefeated teams in the country right now battling the Wolfpack. You know, Wolfpack's also undefeated. You know. Arizona State, they have Georgia on deck, they have Vandy on deck, and Kansas on deck, and they play Nevada. That's a pretty big three-game stretch right now. This line opened up at 7.5. I was talking with Nick Bogdanovich, and he kind of was teetering, thinking it was going to open up around 5. Nevada 5. I thought 5 was too high. I was thinking Nevada 4.5. Then he came out and flat opened up at 7.5. It's been bet down a full point to 6.5, so it's Nevada minus 6.5 right now. The total opened up at 160 and immediately got bet up to 162. So right now, as we sit, it's Nevada minus 6.5 with a total of 162. So the pace is going to be there. I mean, I'm looking at this game and what Arizona State does offensively. They're ranked number 22 in the nation. They put up 86 points a game. Defensively, they're ranked 164, giving up 70 points a game. So, you mean, with the firepower Nevada has going against a team that's already given up 70, you kind of got to think that Nevada's getting 86.
Yeah, Ken, I think the tax is definitely up on the Wolfpack. I was trying to think just as you were rattling off the stats. Have they covered in every single line game so far? Like, no, there was the one, I want to say, against TCU.
Who was Nevada?
Not TCU, but
Tulsa.
Who was it? Tulsa, the one, right, where 15
Tulsa
was the spread and it fell 10. I think
well,
it fell 9.
And Tulsa rattled in some late-minute
right.
threes,
but
John.
Everyone other than that, people are paying attention. The point's kind of like anything else where it's one of those things where you see Duke or, you know, some of these chalky-type teams start covering it with regularity. It catches everyone's attention. At some point, they just got to put the spread out of reach. So I think people, especially last week's being a nationally televised game against USC, and it's looking pretty competitive, a one-point game at halftime, it's looking like if you took a handful of points with the home dog, you might be in decent shape. Nevada comes out, of course, just puts them away early in the second half. And now, to me, it's just getting to where I really do. I think if this week was last, this game was last week, you'd see a reversal in terms of probably would be what you were thinking, 4.5, 5. And now they're just like, no, we got to keep hiking it up. So it's... You know, end the perception that bets on the Wolfpack are free money.
You know, John, I'll throw this up to you. It appears, and we had this conversation, the sports books, they don't want any part of PAC money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just – they've won every game by double digits. Every game by double digits. They really haven't been tested. They came out, you know, close game versus Loyola Chicago, and they came out in the second half and just blew their doors off.
The first 5 minutes of the second half is the most important part of any game, and they have that perfected coming out. And we always say we'd like to bet the second half just to start.
Yeah.
Forget the game. Let's just bet the second half to start the game.
Blindly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a good pattern to be able to finish strong like that, but – I'd like to see them jump out. They have a couple times.
Well,
I
mean,
but they're average. Tonight, I think
they jumped on Loyola pretty good.
They did.
You know, John, you're right. You know, I still don't think that, as weird as this sounds, guys, I still don't think we've seen the best game out of Nevada. I don't really. I mean,
UMass game was close.
It was close because UMass hit shots. Yeah. I mean, UMass can hurt some people. They hit some shots.
Yeah.
But with all this, what do you got? UMass is on right now.
Yeah,
they're getting crushed by Providence.
Smoked by the Friars.
So, but with that being said, you're right, John. From opening tip off to closing bell,
yeah.
This team is a 110 point team a game. They're averaging mid 80s right now, and it's all coming in the second half.
It is. And especially with Caleb himself in the second half, you know, he's had a couple of scoreless first halves and 20 plus in the second half. I expect a 30 point game out of him pretty quick here. He's starting slow, but he's starting to pick that up a little bit.
Yeah.
And national games like this, you know, he is a preseason All American, so
first team preseason,
he's going to want to show himself. So. It's going to be fun to watch tonight.
Absolutely. I'm very excited. You know, let's look at Arizona State's schedule right now. They played Texas Southern. They won 83-71. They were laying 19.5 in that game. They did not cover. They played Nebraska-Omaha, 89-71. They played Utah State. They beat Utah State by 5, 87-82. Mississippi State, 72-67. They win that.
That's a quality win right there.
Yeah. Long Beach State. 90-58, McNeese State 80-52, and Cal State Fullerton took them to overtime on the 6th of November, but Arizona State ends up winning 82-94. You know, and like I said, they have road games on deck with Georgia and Vanderbilt, but they're not going to be sleeping on Nevada tonight. You know, it's at a neutral site, but the crazy thing is, John and Josh, do you see this? Like, if Nevada was playing this game at Arizona State, we're going to be a favorite on the road.
Slight favorite, I'd say, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they have the pedigree at this point. It's not going to be easy to bet on Nevada and get a lot of value with it at this point.
Yeah, exactly, John. Probably the best of it might be gone. Like, you enjoy the whatever eight winners or however many they have so far. Remember Arizona State last year was interesting. They had the same sort of trajectory, right? Remember they were red hot to start the year. At one point, they rose to number three in the country because they started
they
off
really
like 11-0.
Remember that?
And then I think they hit the wall on the Pac-12 schedule and went way downhill so far. I think what they do, I think they barely, weren't they part of like the extra four or whatever the NCAA tournament?
So, yeah.
I think they barely made it in after such a sizzling start. And Pairs are doing the same this year, but can you mention some of those opponents? Those are impressive. For instance, Utah State only had one loss till the other night when they lost to BYU, but Utah State was on fire. Mississippi State's supposed to be improved. I mean, their general resume to this point is pretty sweet, so that's should be the most competitive matchup we've seen yet.
I made a large wager. I guess you call it a pretty good wager. When the line first came out, it was 7.5, and I bought the hook up to 8. I kind of, you know, after I thought about it, I kind of thought this line move would mimic the USC. All the money came in on USC. You know, PAC opened up, and then all the money flew in on USC. And so I kind of thought I would see the same thing. You know, when you get down south, you know, closer to LA and LA, the Vegas bettors, the sharp guys down there, you know, they're going to see an undefeated Arizona State team, you know, getting 7.5 points, and immediately the money came in, and it's moved a full point down to 6.5. I'm hoping it gets to 6. If it gets to 6, I'm going to buy down to 5.5 and take a 6, 7, and 8, and hopefully the game falls somewhere in between 6, 7, and 8. Just taking a shot, you know, but I'm also going to have a little bit of two-team parlay and just play packing over and just hope for a quad one win, John, which is a resume pattern.
Yeah, it is. And I took 6.5 with Arizona State. I just think it's, you know, it's a really big stage, and even though they played there last year, it's still an NBA arena, and it's going to be a big test for them. I expect a close game, pack victory, but I don't think they're going to blow them out by any means.
So, with Josh, John, what are your predictions?
Yeah, this one, Kenny and I texted a little bit about this earlier today or yesterday. I just feel like you know, given the stakes, both teams undefeated, I feel like a competitive game is at hand. Like, I think it's time for Nevada to be tested to the wire, and I would take the value in the points. But, Ken, another thing I was going to mention, I know you were at this too, that first scrimmage of the year against Washington that didn't officially count but that the Wolfpack lost, how much of that's really helped me on handicapping Washington?
Yeah.
Because I was so impressed with them. I'm like, holy, their guards are so good, and finishing with those
their
little floaters.
Good.
Yeah, they make everything, though, in the lane. I was like, keep your eye on Washington and see what's going to happen. So the other night against Gonzaga, I'm like, yeah, give me that 15.5. I will take that, no problem. The first half wasn't looking so great. Second half, they should have won the game.
Yeah.
They're right there. And I think, yeah, again, there's something to keep an eye on. It's like when you see that impression that was made, Washington is really good. I think they're going to come along. So the Pac-12, I think, is, generally speaking, kind of an up year for them. And, again, I just feel like nationally televised games, these big high-profile ones, I mean, Nevada's come through every time so far. I wouldn't bet on them tonight.
It comes down to, like I think every game does, Jordan Caroline. I don't think anybody can handle him. Nobody can handle him.
He's Charles Barkley. You know, I look at him and the way he plays, John. He's great leaper, first of all.
Corliss Williamson, I heard.
But he's not.
That in college. I think that was a great analogy.
He's not.
I think that's a good one, too.
He's not really flashy, but Barkley just did everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what this guy is. I mean, you're talking about a 100-mile-an-hour motor and the big, a lion's heart on the court, John.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And if he could figure out how to make that 8-foot jumper when he gets it at the top of the key,
yeah,
and force the defender to come to him just a little bit,
yep,
he's an NBA player if he can do that.
Yep, I agree.
So what's your prediction, John? You took Arizona.
88-84 Nevada.
88-84 Nevada. 88-84 Nevada. So you like a little bit of dogging over is what you're thinking? Dogging over. Okay,
yeah.
Josh?
I'll bet those separately. I already bet Arizona State. I'll bet the over separately.
You know, John, before I throw this over to Josh, too, it's kind of neat. We were talking about Jay Billis always does these features on ESPN. You know, they call it the 94-foot walk. You
uh-huh.
know, you might have seen it at the Maui Invitational where they're walking
yeah.
the beach, and he's talking to the athletes. Well, he's having his 94-foot walk tonight with Cody and Caleb, which I think that's going to be cool.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
Because Jay Billis is great. To be honest, with all, you know, there's been some turnover in recent years in commentary and whatnot. I've got to say, of who's remaining, I think he's by far the best color commentator out there for college buckets.
Yeah.
To me, sort of like the equivalent of Jeff Van Gundy in the NBA, where like he'll call it like
Kirk
it is.
Herbstreit.
Yeah, but he'll, you know, whether it's criticizing officials or NCAA rules, I mean, Billis is relentless. And he's so influential now. He's worth listening to if you haven't, by the way. Any game that he's a commentator, not only does he have the X's and O's down pat, but he'll fill you in. You'll learn a lot just listening to him about various, you know, whether it's about the recruiting side or basically every aspect of college basketball. So, to like you said, Ken, to have them interact with Nevada, that's like a college basketball icon that they're getting to meet because he's huge.
I'd love to see game day come here. It's not going to come here in football, but it could come here
in basketball.
Basketball wise, maybe San Diego State game, something like that.
Well, you know, you think San Diego State or New Mexico, but how bad is New Mexico right now? Did you see what New Mexico State did to them the other night?
No,
they beat them by 40. I mean, or maybe more. They absolutely destroyed them. You know,
why I miss that?
Yeah, and you know, you have all this, you know, hype about, you know, New Mexico gonna challenge Nevada, and I tell you what, if they don't figure something out, they're gonna get ran off the court.
Yeah.
Absolutely ran off the court. Nevada plays Arizona State tonight, 9 p.m. on ESPN2, so make sure that you're at your TV. You can watch that.
We'll be at the wall.
We'll be at the wall. Oops, sorry, I kicked my cord. And then Sunday, Nevada has a sneaky game, guys, and this is a real sneaky game. They play Grand Canyon on Sunday.
Yeah, that's not good.
5-2. We have a common opponent. Do we have a common opponent no, we don't. I thought we did, but we don't. Grand Canyon's 5-2 this year. They beat Boise State and LaSalle. They lost to Utah and Seton Hall. They beat Arkansas State, Jacksonville, Delaware State, and lost to San Diego State. And they have Nevada on deck. You know, this team's 4-4 against the spread, 3-4 as far as totals are concerned. Offensively, they're averaging about 78 points a game, giving up 68. So
Grand Canyon?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember, Ken, speaking of which, yeah, last year they were one of the ones who participated in those early scrimmages. They came up to Lawler. I think it was the first one.
And we blitzed them.
No, it was a close game. I mean, I think it ended up being a margin of about 10 points, but that was a legit test. So, yeah, they're worth paying attention to.
That's two straight NBA arenas. They're down at Talking Stick in Phoenix. Dan Marley. Aren't they picked to win the WAC or Big West, whatever the health conference they're in?
One of the two. You're right. I think it is.
Well, I think New Mexico State is.
New Mexico State is.
New Mexico State's playing well. I mean, I was surprised.
It's always a good program.
The way they blitzed that team. So Nevada with a really, really big two stretch right now. You know, they're sitting right there at 5 or 6 in the nation. You know, huge, huge stretch. You know, game tonight. You know, I'm excited about this Arizona State game. I want 9 o'clock to get here so bad.
Yeah.
And hunker down in front of the TV and just see where it takes us.
For what it's worth, I'll take the chalk in the first game, too. I think TCU, they should be able to get the job done against USC.
Who's the and I know you know this, so I'm just kind of lobbing you up, but who's the coach for Arizona State?
Bobby Hurley.
What do you think about Bobby Hurley?
Not a fan.
Rat boy?
Yeah, I have some deep-seated hatred for Bobby Hurley.
Tell me, you want to tell the listeners why?
No, not there's nothing in particular, just he's just so Duke.
He's so Duke.
I used to, John, in our youth. There's nothing more than you want to punch his Bart Simpson head in every time you saw
him. From you, Josh, you're not an aggressive guy.
Back in the day, like the Leitner era, Duke, I was the same way. It's like there's one thing.
Thomas Hill.
Grew to respect Christian Leitner, even though you hate him. But Bobby Hurley, just whining to the ref, you just had this desire to just smash him.
Yep, I'm in.
You're in for no Bobby Hurley?
Yeah, I'd like to see Musk slap him across the head.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Musk and Hurley, they're about the same size, aren't they?
Hurley's a little bigger than Musk.
Not by much. Not by too much. So, Wolfpack, 9 p.m. tonight, ESPN2. Line opened at 7.5, down to 6.5. The last time I checked, total opened at 160. Immediately bet it up to 162. Make sure you guys, fire up your William Hill Mobile Sports app and get in action. You can plenty of time, 9 p.m., late game. So, obviously it's a regional game, so that's the reason it's so late.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of weird to see that late of a game.
That's because they're doing the doubleheader thing, a good 45 minutes in between.
And it won't start at 9. It'll be later than that.
Probably.
Too.
Yeah. Wow, Venmo. Thank you, Tara. She just paid me some money on Venmo.
Nice.
I can bet more now on this game. So let's let's head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about Wolfpack football. They got their big invitation to the what's the name of the bowl?
Arizona Bowl.
The Arizona Bowl. Well, I know it's in Arizona.
Granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, granddaddy of the Arizona Bowl. A couple of players have exited the team. We'll talk a little bit about that, give the line, and get your guys' opinion on that. So this is the William Hill Sports Show. Come to you live from Club Caniva on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Caniva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. And Josh, I might as well let everybody know, we talked about how many articles you have out. Where can they get these articles?
You said, Ken, sportsline.com. There's lots of stuff. I mean, $10 a month if you want to subscribe and have all access for free. There's still some stuff that we give out, but... Yeah, pretty much full previews on every single bowl game that includes spread predictions and all that. And Kenny, you've checked it out before. We
Absolutely.
Also know you have computer simulations. Some people, if you're into the analytics side and purely probabilities, that sort of thing, of who's going to win, our mathematical machine is pretty accurate too. So it's all that, sportsline.com.
I appreciate that. And make sure you like our sports page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Real simple, Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook, and we post all of our picks. And I actually have my little sheet. It's abbreviated this week because where we have all the tout services, who they like and stuff. And I post that on there too. Try and come up with some matches. There is some matches today. I haven't finalized it. I was hoping that a couple more publications came in so I could get them on the sheet before I posted it. But we'll have the NFL tomorrow, and then as the bowl season moves on, we'll start posting those weekly too. But make sure you like the radio our show on Facebook at Kenny B ESPN. Sports Handicapping, and Josh Nagel 1 at Sportsline. Anyways, Josh Nagel 1 at Twitter.
Twitter handle, thank you.
Yeah, Josh Nagel at Sportsline. Arkansas State, Nevada, going to a bowl game. Coming off, do we want to talk about the way the season ended, or do you just want to move right to
I think I made my thoughts pretty clear last week.
I echo a lot of your feelings. I really do, but I'm trying to be politically correct, and I know that
I'm not.
I know you.
You can throw that out the window when you blow a 23-point lead to the Rebels.
So, with that being said, McLean Mannix, he's
too bad.
He's left the team, and he's the starting wide receiver, freshman All-American last year, first team freshman All-American. Just a sophomore, 2 years left to play for the Pack, and he's exited the team. I'll give that reason why. And Sewell, the younger brother of. Linebacker.
Nephi.
Yeah, Nephi. He's also quit, so he lost the starting safety this week, and we've lost our number one wide receiver.
And we lost somebody yesterday, I forget. I forget Knowledge's last name, but he's gone too.
What was his reasoning?
I'm not exactly sure.
And I know that Sewell and Mannix are not going to be present for the bowl game.
Too bad. Those are two key individuals.
Well, sure they are. I was a little – until I found out the reason why Mannix left, I was kind of – I just – for selfish reasons, I thought this guy just thinks he got too big for the program and he wanted greener grasses. But
yeah, not at all.
No, not at all. Chris Murray posted an article, you know, about the real reason why he left, and I highly, highly recommend reading the article. You know, you hear these athletes always say, you know, personal reasons, family reasons, and things like that, Josh and John. But you know, he had some legitimate reasons to leave, and you know. I love McLean Mannix. You know, John, from the very first time we saw him take the field, I told you he's going to be by the time he graduates, he's going to be my favorite football player of all time.
Until he's a Patriot.
But McLean, we wish you, you know, the best of luck and good luck, you know, going back home. You're going to land on your feet, and he's a Sunday player. He's a next day player. And, you know, it's terrible. But look up the article. You know, he had to deal with his mom and some adversity with his mom and some fears that she was having. It had to do with the fires and the things like that. So with that being said, you know, look it up and wish him the best, you know, on Twitter and things like that. So I think he's going to end up at Texas Tech. I think he's going to go down to Texas Tech. A fast guy like that, a speedy receiver.
You'd think, depending on what they do system-wise, now that Kingsbury's out.
Yeah,
they might not be throwing it.
It's tough
like
to change. It's tough to change your identity. Yeah, right. I think they're going to throw the ball all over the yard. So, all right. With that being said, Josh and John, you know, let's talk about the Wolfpack playing Arkansas State. Game opened up at Pick'em. Money's
Arkansas State -1.
Yeah, yeah. All the sharp money's coming in on Arkansas State, and I can see the reason why. When you have a bowl game, it's 3 weeks away. Nick puts up a fair line. Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader at William Hill, you know, he puts up this fair line, and then the first thing the wise guys see is their starting wide receiver's gone, their starting safety's gone. John said we lost another guy, so you know they immediately think turmoil in the organization, and the fact that they come off of just probably the most disappointing loss, in my opinion, of all time, when they lost to Vegas after 23-0 lead.
Yeah, you wonder, Ken, because obviously Nevada had a great run there toward the middle / end of the season, leaves a bitter taste to, you know, end with that loss to your rival. But you mentioned the problems that, you know, forced McLean Mannix to leave the program run up, but that's a huge on-field thing. Obviously, when you're just handicapping that game, this specific game, I mean, they have others. O'Leary Orange has been hurt. I mean, anytime all your weapons, one of them's missing, but he was just so integral to what they did that I think that hurts them a lot. The other losses as well. But, Ken, overall it's an interesting matchup because I've seen my share of Arkansas State, right? They're the Sun Belt, the quote-unquote fun belt. They're on a lot, especially late in the season. If they look the same every year, I'm surprised they're 8-4 because that team is soft as a pillow. Like, they're one of those teams that they run if you like trick plays and stuff. Arkansas State's a weird program. Remember a few years back, they kept churning out high-quality coaches. Gus Malzahn left Auburn to become coach at Arkansas State for 1 year. Then they fired the other guy and bought Malzahn back. And then it was Brian Harsin, who's now at Boise State. He was in there 1 year. He did really well, got his dream job at his alma mater. And so now for a few years, it's been this guy, Blake Anderson. It's all just gimmicky. They run like 6 trick plays a game. I mean, just watch. If you watch this bowl game, there'll probably be a fake punt. They'll do all kinds of, you know, trick stuff within their offense. But it's all very finesse and gimmicky. But they have more talent than most of the Sun Belt. I'll just say this. When Arkansas State runs up against a physical pro-style team, Appalachian State just squashed them by like 40.
35-9.
That was at home. And they were getting 10 points because I know because I took a piece of them that night and took the loss. And you remember that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, you know, it's just gimmicky, but it's not, you know, no offense to anybody, but it's not entirely different from what Nevada does. But I would say, in a broader sense, Ken, as much as we've seen, I've seen plenty of both teams, but definitely Nevada. I think Nevada was playing for sure at their peak the better defense of the two, because Arkansas State can be had. Like, they're soft. But Nevada, that kind of defense that they brought, though, up against the likes of, you know, San Diego State and Air Force, if that defensive effort shows up, I think Nevada has the edge.
Yeah, for sure. In that case, it's just, it's hard not to fall for the banana in the tailpipe sometimes.
So pretty much.
You gotta have your head on a swivel. Just Arkansas State.
You know, John, like you said, or like I said, the money, the early money's coming in on Arkansas State, and I can see the reason why. You know, just the news is, you know, when Nick put up the fair line, the news has all been bad for Nevada since it came up. You know, so I can see the point move. But you know what I see, you know, Josh, you touched on the spot that or the fact that, you know, they're 8-4, 6-6 versus the spread. Of their 12 games, 4 have went over, 8 have went under. But you know, and I look at some of their games, John. They did play Alabama. They played Alabama.
That was like 56-7.
57-7. Good memory, Josh. 57-7. They did play UNLV. They beat UNLV 27-20.
Yeah, that was like close to a pick 'em. I remember that.
Right. They lost to Georgia. Or excuse me. They lost to Lafayette, and they lost two. They say Lafayette, App State, Georgia Southern, John, and Alabama.
Triple option team. Right.
So with that being said, so I got into the stats a little bit. They're averaging 464 yards a game. That's what they're averaging on offense, John. 282 through the air and 182 on the ground. But this is the stat. This is the stat that that stuck out to me, guys. On defense, they're average. They're only giving up 376 yards a game. However, they're averaging giving up over 200 yards a game on the ground. On the boy, does that not line up for us?
Yep. Like I said, they can be had. They're soft at the line of scrimmage, and they get mowed over by physical teams for sure. So that's one of those things where I think Nevada would be well served by making sure the running attack's a focal part, the focal point of the offense.
I'm sure it will be.
You know, so John, I'm trying to say, what's the total in this game right now? Is it up 59.5? So 59.5. You know, Nevada's going to. This is going to be. That total's right there, 30-30 games. So they're projecting each team to get 30. You know.
It seems about right. I really think about 31, you know, 34, 30 either way.
Here's their totals: 40, 48, 60, 52, 90, 96, 47, 49, 47, 49, 64, and 69. Those are the totals for Arkansas State. So, you know, tentatively right now, I think Norvell's going to have our team ready to go, John. I think we're going to be, and I think we're going to be able to run the ball. You know, they're giving up 200 yards a game. I kind of think that if things break even, Nevada's the play here.
I think so, too, for sure.
If Ganji does not ignore the inside linebacker in the
dropping back in coverage?
Yeah. Look for that guy, Ganji. Sorry.
No.
And for what it's worth, John, I watched, like, you know, they have those condensed games or whatever on YouTube, like the entire game in, like, a 30-minute clip. So I watched Nevada-UNLV the other night. It was pretty painful, man. They watch the whole thing. You know, they show all the highlights, all the scoring plays, various highlights. After that first quarter, you wouldn't have thought anything. But in that second half, it was a pretty painful watch, especially many of Nevada's second-half drives.
Come on, Ganji. You got great hair, though.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, don't do that.
I just, you know,
whatever you're doing, don't do it.
23-0. I thought we were just gonna run away with that. I thought it was gonna be a Seaguar game. But with that being said, you know, credit to Vegas for not giving up. But John, like you said, hopefully it keeps Sanchez there for a while, right?
Yeah, exactly. Renew that contract down there.
Yeah,
you know, one big thing, by the way, happened in that game, that say for UNLV's credit, everything was going so poorly, right? It was 20-0. They brought in the backup quarterback. At first place, he ran and he fumbled, and Nevada got it again.
Yeah.
You're thinking this could just get out of hand. I think one huge turning point, honestly, was UNLV holding them to a field goal on that thing. Because if Nevada puts it in the house again,
they missed extra point before
right.
That. Yeah.
But still, you never know if that's going to come into play. But right there, it just looks like UNLV is just about to pack it in. But somehow they got to stop, hold it to a field goal, and still 23-0. You know, still officially a three-score game. I think that actually gave them a little bit of a boost, because then they got it back and went down and scored.
Crazy. Let's not recap that game. Let's move on to Arkansas State. You know, this game is Saturday, December 29th at 10 a.m. Nevada right now.
That's playoff Saturday, too.
Yeah. One-point dog Nevada is at the Arizona Bowl.
What time is this game?
Tucson. It's 10:15 a.m.
Oh, nice.
So, and total at 59. You know, right now, on the surface, I think we're going to be ready to play. I'm going to read some more articles. I think that I know losing Mannix is going to hurt us. Fossum's going to move probably right into that slot receiver. He's been kind of doing that all year. And we're loaded at wide receiver. You know, we got to throw the ball to our players. And I think we're going to be able to run the ball, guys. I really do. I think you know, we're going to get 200 yards on the ground. So with that being said, I don't know. I mean, if our defense shows up, I kind of like the game to go under. Maybe a little pack and under. Long drives by the pack, you know, running the ball and chewing up that clock, Josh.
Yeah, and Ken, if they do some of that, you know, kind of read option stuff they had done with Tawa, right? It worked against some teams. Some saw it coming, but when he kind of lines up in the Wildcat, kind of does a pump fake and then runs, you know, right, he had a couple, I think, touchdown runs against Toledo doing that, and it's effective against some other teams. I think that type of play would be effective against Arkansas State because he's a powerful, physical runner. And I think if you have, you know, a little bit misdirection mixed in with the power game, that's something that Nevada should be able to exploit.
Absolutely. So we still got to wait for that, but first things first, Josh. We play Arizona State tonight at 9 p.m.
That's right. Oh, you're switching back to
I'm just fired up about the game. So might as well move into the NFL right now. Chiefs and Ravens. Chiefs at home laying 6.5, totals 51. Game opened at 7.5. Baltimore money weighed in immediately. And the total opened up at 51. And we got a two-point move to the under, so it's down to 49. John, I'm going to start with you just because I know that it's kind of your division here with the Ravens. You know, they have Lamar Jackson going. Where are you at with this?
I think they've kind of stretched their rubber band a little bit here.
The Ravens?
Yeah. It's it's not an easy matchup for him here. They're still alive in the wild card and even in the division here, but I don't know how far you can go with Lamar Jackson at this point. He's impressed me, though.
Yeah, I'd say that. I agree, John, especially last week. I had the Falcons. It actually killed me that the Ravens –
I
killed a huge teaser for me that the Falcons couldn't even cover whatever it was on a teaser, 7.5, because the Ravens won by 10. But that's one of those things, though, John. I actually think the rubber band's starting to get pressurized the other way, that being with the Chiefs. I think the Kareem Hunt thing is really debilitating to them. He's one of the most versatile stars in the league, running and catching. I mean, they'll be okay without him, but that's a huge blow. Of course, with all the media attention and everything, it's got to be a bit of a distraction. But you saw last week, I actually did take a late piece of the Raiders just for that fact. I didn't want otherwise anything to do with them. But, they kept it pretty close. I think lost by 10. And this spot here, that's why the Ravens' defense, I started looking at the stats and whatever. I didn't buy into it at first, but they really are. I mean, they're first in just about everything. I think yards, points allowed. And I just think it's one of those things, given Kansas City's limitations without Hunt, I mean, they're still powerful, and you're right. The Ravens you worry about on the offensive end. But I just have a weird feeling Baltimore makes this a one-score game.
Yeah, they're so annoying. I could absolutely see that as well, but I don't know. Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are out there to kind of prove something here, too.
It's tough. I think Baltimore's – their power running game is so good, guys, and I think that they're just going to be able to run up there and just run the ball down the Chiefs' throat and probably minimize some of the drives against the Chiefs. If you're looking for edge, Nick used 53.5 on the half-point parlay card. It's down to 51.5, so you got a full two-point move on the total.
And, Ken, with Hunt out, has it been Spencer Ware? Who's the number
Spencer
one?
Spencer Ware.
Okay.
And then they have
I didn't see how he did last week.
Chikandrick West.
Ware's not bad.
Barry
Word. He's more of a power guy. Hunt's more explosive. But.
So with that being said, I'm probably, if this number gets back up to 7, I'm going to be looking to take the Ravens in a touchdown. I think the Ravens are going to be able to keep it close as far as the side's concerned. But I will have some parlays to under 53.5 off of the white card, tying it to some other edges. Texans at home versus the Colts. Texans laying 4.5, totals 49.5. I don't know what to think about.
Why is it so low?
I don't understand what to think about these. You mean the Texans?
They won 9 in a row?
Yeah.
They should be laying over a touchdown.
You would think so. And the Colts getting shut out last week, they didn't really click on the road versus Jacksonville. They throw a big goose egg. I mean, were they looking ahead?
Texas defense is better than Jaguars these days.
I agree with that. Jacksonville has no heart. Did you see that game last night? That was a disgusting
effort. I agree, Ken. And what sucks, too, because I took a piece of them only because it seemed like the whole world was on Titans. And I just love to jump in there and take the points when you can kind of contrarian to the public. I got 6 points. You're right, it's fine early on. We all know the big swing that happened. Jacksonville was about to take the lead, get stopped at the goal line, give up 99-yard touchdown on the next play. But on that and some others, Ken, I heard some NFL commentators today saying they gave up, of the one main guy being Louis Riddick, who does. And I totally agree.
He's
great. But he was the most aggressive and assertive about they flat gave up. And I agree, because what it looked like to me in some of those were the Derrick Henry, like the 15-yarder as well. It looked like a varsity high school team, taking on a Pop Warner. They just stood around. I mean, it's almost like they were down one or trying to let them score to get the ball back. When NFL football players, when they literally stand up straight and back off, that's when they
wanted no part of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly. They were literally letting him score. They let it happen 4 times. So I agree that Jacksonville gave up. It was pathetic.
That's good. I just despise the Jacksonville Jaguars, so it's good to see some quit in them. And I wish the Steelers were the ones to beat them into submission, but
They're done now for sure.
They are done. If you look at the arms on Derrick Henry, I understand why you want no
huge
piece of him.
And
what a moose.
It came out today that it looks like Jacksonville's going to move away from Blake Bortles going forward. So,
Cody Kessler, by the way, wasn't that bad. But
so
they're clearly in the market for a franchise quarterback.
I think they scored 9 points. Texans Colts real quick. I'm with you, John. I kind of lean a little bit to the Texans. They just got some mojo going right now, John. And I think
they're just a good football team.
I think four and a half with that defense. I think they're going to be able to get to luck and create some havoc.
I'll take the Colts with the points only because this has tended to be an underdog rivalry. Last time, remember, the Colts were laying the points, and that's how Texans got off their losing streak. Was that wild overtime win against when the Colts went for it on fourth down and didn't get it? That turned their season around. And I think the Colts are in position of kind of needing a payback. 4.5, I'll take.
All right. Let's head after our next commercial break. This is the William Hill Sports Show, live from the Club Count Eva, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Count Eva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens. Make sure you like the show on Facebook at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Sorry, I was watching the comeback by UMass. You know, they were down a bunch, and now it was a four-point game. So
I like it, by the way, because I took a little piece of them, plus nine, just based on,
yeah.
So, again, Nevada helping me out here. Based on what I saw with UMass against Nevada, I thought there'd be some good value. And Providence coming off an upset at Boston College the other night, I thought it'd be a flat spot. I wasn't liking it when they were down like 20 and 2 minutes ago, but six-point game.
Absolutely. All right, Browns at home versus the Carolina Panthers. John, talking about point spreads, and, you know, you're talking about the light point spread you thought on the Texans game. Panthers minus two, totals 47. Nick used 1.5 on the parlay card.
I like the Browns. Panthers are just in a tailspin here. And
Newton's shoulder,
they're just not playing well. I thought they were going to be a playoff team for sure a few weeks ago, and it just doesn't appear that way now. And Browns had a tough loss last week, and eminently talented, and Josh is sweating the under 5.5. Is that what you have?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but
you just turned Scottish right there. Exactly.
Well, I have 5.5, and I have under six. But yeah, I basically need them to stay at 5 wins. But unfortunately, though, I agree. It's one of those things. Weird. A few weeks ago, I think the Panthers were like 6-2 at one point, looking pretty good. I thought they were undervalued, you know, with the spreads. Yeah, they've fallen apart, and I think this is a bad spot for them. I think this is just the ultimate test. We'll see if they've truly fallen apart. But you've seen the Browns every year, every week, I should say, especially at home. They come to play, and if you're not ready, I mean, this is just a flat spot in terms of, I think, you know, if the Browns come out and play well, they'll beat you, and I think, you know, that spread is just kind of a smokescreen. Cleveland can almost be favored in this one.
I was thinking they would be. I'm surprised by it. I do like the Browns here.
All right. Saints Buccaneers 55.5, biggest total on the board this week. You know, and it, one of those games.
Do they play every week?
It seems like it, doesn't it?
It's. I swear this is the third time they played this year.
No, opening week. Remember, Tampa,
it seems like
upset.
They played like 2 weeks ago, but I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
But that being
per usual,
Saints laying 8.5 on the road versus Tampa Bay, totals 55.5. You know, you have the Saints; they're right there, coming off that loss versus Dallas last week. But you know, they're still 10-2, guys. They still have a 4-game lead in the NFC South. That's just amazing to me. You know, and I actually skipped the Falcons and the Packers. Dadgummit.
Fine.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is 5-7. I guess, you know, when you look at the wild card race in the NFC, you know, it looks like Seattle has the inside track, I guess, with 7 wins. But then you have Carolina with 6 wins, Minnesota at 6-5-1. You have Philadelphia with 6 wins. You have Washington with 6 wins. So where I'm headed with this, I guess, kind of Tampa Bay, if they can win out, I mean, they can get to 9 wins.
Tampa Bay's not going to win out.
Well, I'm just saying, they still have something to play for, and they're at home. But
and it's a huge rivalry.
But do you want to revenge? Do you want to lay 8.5 points with the Saints on the road?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do. I'll lay 18.
Wow.
Coming off a loss when you look that pathetic against an average team at best, Drew Brees is going to throw 7 touchdown passes.
Well, it's a revenge spot. The thing that scares me, though, this is sort of where the Bucs show up, and they did win on opening day.
That is true.
It's a revenge spot, and like you mentioned, with the Saints coming off a loss, that makes it a little tougher. But even if, you know, I put it this way, even a fired-up Saints team, that's fine. I still think it's going to be hard for them to create separation. I really do think they'll probably win it, but by 3 or 4 or maybe 7.
Is Fitzmagic playing?
No.
Jameis?
J-Mo.
Number
one offense in the NFL, Tampa Bay, 442 yards a game, 344 through the air. You know, they're averaging 26.5 points a game. But then again, you know, the Saints right there at number six at 396, averaging 34 points a game. But, you know, when you get up these large totals, you just – I'm still not convinced. I know the identity of the Saints. I know
really?
Tampa Bay wants to throw the ball all around the yard. They've become a running team, John. A lot more.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you think about the Saints and Drew Brees and Thomas and all those guys. You kind of think that they're a passing team, but
well, I think that there's a lot of balance going on in New Orleans, and coming off that loss with a couple extra days to prepare here, it's nothing but the Saints for me here. I can't make a case for the Buccaneers at all.
At the 60, so what's your take number with Tampa Bay, honestly?
20?
Seriously? So
I told you I'd lay 18.5. So it's 8.5, I'd lay 18.5.
So this is a pleaser bet for you?
It is.
All right. I can see that. I mean, I like the game under 55. But then again,
Saints are dope, yo.
I think probably the Saints are going to get 40. You know, looking at the defensive standings, Tampa Bay's 27th in the NFL, 95 yards a game.
Derek Brooks isn't walking through that door.
I guess not.
Warren Sapp's not walking through that door.
I'm going to have to look at it a little bit deeper, but John's kind of talking me into maybe making a teaser.
Leroy Selman's not walking through
that door. A teaser play on the Saints. Falcons, Packers, real quick, guys. Why are the Packers laying 5 in this game? I know that Atlanta's absolutely terrible, but Green Bay, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Green Bay's pretty terrible themselves.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers had his, you know, we're going to win out and still make the playoffs speech last week. They lose at home to Arizona. They fire the head coach.
Can we get Julio Jones and A.J. Green to go to Green Bay and play with Rodgers?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Atlanta, 26th straight defense in the NFL. So, you know, I guess on paper it looks like, you know, both teams are going to be able to score. But I have no interest. I have no interest in laying 5.5 with the Packers.
Yeah, me
zero.
And for what's worth, the Falcons, I did a ton of research on this one for Sportsline, but the Falcons have covered like 5 straight times in this matchup and in Green Bay. But both teams are just pretty much mirror images at this point of each other because they're both, the Packers are completely falling apart. So is Atlanta. Falcons have lost 4 straight, the Packers 3 and fired their coach. And at this point, it's like, yeah, which is worse? They have they still have good, productive offensive units, but the worst defenses in the league. To me, it's a pass just because both teams are so flawed. The only, I think, edge you might give Green Bay is that thing about bouncing back. They always, you know, teams look a little bit better after firing their coach. They might, but I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I just bet it over. I mean, Packers are just a mess until Lincoln Riley takes over.
And it sounded like Lincoln Riley's going to get like 10 NFL jobs after this year. Thought he was going to get hired on the Browns, too. What happened?
So, all right.
Baker Mayfield's personal
Would you
choice.
Take the Browns job or the Packers job? If you're Lincoln Riley.
You know, Browns. I think it's tough. I think, the more talented roster is Cleveland's by far.
It is.
And you have Baker there. You know, your quarterback that you were with for 4 years.
Yeah.
Bills Jets. How do they make a favorite in this
Bills
game?
Bills Jets.
How do they make a favorite in this game? Bills
why
3?
Why are they even playing this game? Kenny's coughing.
No, I agree.
Kenny's all choked up.
To me, it's one of those things, John. Yeah, Bills minus 3. Just give me the Jets. Like, whoever was the underdog, give me the points.
No doubt
Absolutely,
about it.
Josh. 100%. Give me the underdog. Look at the total, too, 38.
Yeah.
This game's going to end up like.
What are they going to do something about this
35-32, something crazy like that. It's going to be an absolute shootout.
Can somebody rise up in this division
and
one
challenge
time
the Patriots?
And challenge the Patriots?
Yeah, no.
Instead, they're all getting worse, apparently.
They're getting worse.
By day. Yeah.
As soon as the Bills get respectable, they just tear it down every time.
Yeah, they made the playoffs last year. Same thing with the Jets, who, again, I think they're better off with Darnold shelved. But
and the Dolphins. Let's not even talk about the Dolphins.
Yeah,
but, you know, I guess the total is warranted at 38. The Jets are ranked 30th in the NFL in total offense, and the Buffalo's ranked 31st. So, I mean, what a doozy of a game. How did this game not end up
Jets
on 30?
Jets are supposed to be a good defensive team, too.
Yeah, so are the Bills.
Yeah,
exactly.
So are the Bills.
And by the way, it's one of those weird things. It's Bills minus 3, minus 120 there. Actually make you pay a tax for the privilege of laying those 3 points.
Who's doing that?
I don't know. Apparently
Buffalo,
somebody is.
On a yards-per-game basis, Buffalo is number 2 in the NFL in yards per game. 294 a game.
Yeah, so, their defense has held up pretty well.
And the Jets, on the other hand, are 23rd, so they're terrible. John, speaking of Dolphins, Patriots, they play this week.
God.
Patriots going on the road lane 7.5. You know, I'm not really impressed with the Patriots this year, guys. You know, I know that they're running away with the division over there, but, you know, it's almost like they have it locked up. I just don't know if Miami can challenge them here.
Yeah.
You know, Patriots at 9-3. You know, Miami has 6 wins. Basically, this wraps up the AFC East. If New England wins this game, they're going to have a 4-game lead with 3 to go. So it looks like this is the Super Bowl for the Patriots, you know, to win the East. I have no interest.
Yeah,
7.5. Give me the Patriots in a teaser just to win the game.
That works for me too. In a 6-point teaser spot, it seems like a pretty easy leg to hit. But it's weird, right? Because the Dolphins have historically occasionally given New England a hard time, particularly at home, not in Foxborough. This would seem like a spot. All right, 10 a.m. It's actually going to be nice and warm in Miami. You might think, you know, it'd be real tempting to jump on that key number and the home dog, but I've seen the Dolphins enough to know no thanks. Their defense is so bad. I know that one could get out of hand. Although it's funny, they only need one more win. Miami, as bad as they've been, you know, they did start 3-0. They only need one more win to hit their season win total, which was 6.5.
Yeah.
But I think that comes down to, I think it's at Buffalo on the last day to possibly get that because in this spot, you know, the Patriots have been a little erratic. And they haven't been great on the road, but I just couldn't jump in there on Miami.
29, John. That's the defensive rank for the Dolphins. 29.
That's
not good.
Step up.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, they're not good.
Rams-Bears. Rams traveling to Chicago. It's going to be cold.
It's an interesting game.
Yeah, it is. Rams laying 3 on the road, 52. You know, and it's another game where you kind of got to look at motivation. You know, the Rams have a 4-game lead over Seattle. You know, they're 11-1. Seattle's 7-5. You know, so you know, the Bears, they're still trying to win that, you know, the NFC North. You know, Green Bay's pretty much been eliminated at this point, but Minnesota's only 2 games back. You know, this is a big game for Chicago. But with that being said, the Rams get no respect. I mean, this team is 11-1. They've scored 419 points this year on offense. That's the tied for the most in the NFC. And that is the only team that scored more. I just had to look. It's Kansas City at 444. So this is the Rams all the way. I think Rams goes in there. The Rams go in there, and they win this game hands down. Trubisky looks like he's going to play, but I believe in this Rams defense on both sides of the ball. I believe they have the most talent on both sides of the ball. This is Rams for me, guys.
I like the Bears here, especially if Trubisky's playing. Chase Daniel doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for me, but, yeah, the Rams are my Super Bowl pick. I've been riding the Rams all year, and I believe in them as well. It's a rough spot. This has been flexed to the night game now. So
yes, that's correct.
It's gonna be pretty bitter cold, and you know you have Khalil Mack on one side and Aaron Donald on the other. You doesn't get any better than that. It's a tough spot for the Rams. I like the Bears here. I think the Bears win outright.
I agree with that as well, just because. Like I said, Ken, you could make an argument maybe the Rams are getting their just due, but maybe the Bears aren't either, as well as they've played. You know, they've been graining home underdog spots. Trubisky back does help. But I do think the key thing is Chicago's defense, I think, right, somewhat significantly better than the Rams, despite the Rams having some great individuals. The Bears' numbers have been there every single week. I just think from a matchup perspective, they have the ability to possibly shut down or at least limit Todd Gurley and then force Goff. You know, if you force them to throw downfield in the freezing cold, it's not the best spot, just X's and O's wise for the Rams, so Chicago.
You know, I just like the idea of, in my opinion, getting the best team in the NFL only laying 3 points. That's the reason I lean towards the Rams in the spot. So it's one of those times we have to go to an early commercial break and head off the traffic. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Redskins, Giants. Giants going on the road, laying 3.5, totals 41. John, this is kind of like, you look at the Bills and the Jets games, I guess they have to make a favorite, right?
No.
Josh, what do you think about the Redskins, Giants? I'm over your attitude tonight, bud.
Yeah, there's nothing to get excited about. Obviously, Giants are chalk because the Redskins are down to Sanchez at quarterback. I want nothing to do with either side. And the Giants.
I had no idea he was still in the league until
me either. I didn't know who they were bringing in for third string, but Giants clearly favored because of that. And they had a pretty decent game last week against the Bears, who, I think that went to overtime, but the Giants might have been one of their better games of the year. So basically, strictly because of that, they pretty much have to be the chalk here. Redskins have been good as a home dog all year, but you can't trust them here. So to me, just a clear pass.
Yeah, I got nothing here.
Look at the total here, guys. 41.5. Man, I'd love to find a 42. What is it on the board? Is it 40? What's Nick got on the board right now? 41 flat. Looking so it came down half a point. I would love to take under 42 right here. The one thing, the Redskins can play a little bit of defense. They can play a little bit of defense. And there's nothing that really makes me think that the Giants are going to be able to go out there and exploit the defense of the Redskins. So I think it's going to be a close game. This is the season for the Redskins. They had a firm control on the NFC East, you know, and then
a while back,
and now they're 6-6. Dallas is 7-5. Philadelphia is 6-6. So this is a big game right now with Dallas playing Philadelphia. It's almost like an elimination game for Washington. I think you get a big effort out of Washington. I think that Washington's going to figure out a way to win this game.
You don't think they're done?
I don't.
We'll see.
I do think that they're not going to win the NFC East, but I don't think mentally.
Eagles are going to win the NFC East.
They very well could. We'll get to that game later. I agree with that. That's probably going to be my best bet of the week, though.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Josh, I don't think mentally they've cashed in like Jacksonville did last night. I think you get a big effort from Washington this week. I think they rally the troops. And I think they're going to figure out a way to win this game.
Okay.
I really do. Broncos.
Like I said, it's just a pass for me. I got no desire to bet it.
Nothing wrong with a home dog getting 3.5 points and a total that's 41. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
49ers at home playing Denver. The number is 4. 49ers 2-10.
This is the worst slate I've ever heard.
Progressive. Bad. This is the truth. The Progressive is up to $114,000 right now.
They get hit this week.
It's not getting hit this week. You're right, John, because there's at least six underdogs that are absolutely live this week. Usually to hit this thing, you have to have keys where you can key 6-7 games where you have teams that are favored by 7, 8, 9 and try and get the right combination on the rest of them. But I'm with you, John. I don't think he gets it. But look at this game. Broncos laying 4 to San Francisco? I mean, who really cares about this game?
No, nobody. I mean, the Broncos are alive again. They've won, peeled off a couple games in a row, and they're hanging on by a thread.
It goes back to the same thing as the NFC, John. It looks like the San Diego Chargers are going to be in one of the wild cards. If they don't, they're only one game behind Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I think Kansas City and the Chargers are in.
Chargers is good, man.
Right. But Denver at 6-6. So that last wild card spot, Tennessee has 7 wins. Baltimore has 7 wins. But 6 is still a possibility to get you in there.
Yeah.
Josh?
Yeah, and with Denver, they have sort of been coming on strong lately. We know what's happened to the Niners with all the injuries and everything else, and they've been fairly respectable despite all that, but I still think I'd probably only have Denver in this one.
Yeah, I like Denver. They have something to play for. The Niners are just cruising it out right now and getting a high draft pick.
Niners obviously banged up at the quarterback position, banged up at the running back position, and then you've got Lindsay coming on for Denver. The one thing that Emmanuel Sanders did snap his hamstring. Achilles.
Love Manny Sanders.
Yeah, so so they're going to be losing
young money.
They're going to be losing him. So kind of unarmed. 45.5. There's nothing to make me think that this game's going to get to that total. I like the game to go under 45.5. Speaking of San Diego, they're laying 14 points, John, to the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, you talk about
Superchargers.
You talking? Well, talk about teams that have cashed it in.
Yeah, Bengals are the Bengals for sure.
With all the talent in the world on offense,
they have a lot of talent. They're led by idiots, and I hope that continues. I hope Marvin Lewis never loses his job, just like Tony Sanchez. 14's a little ambitious, though.
I think so too.
I love the Chargers. I believe in the Chargers. I think that they are the absolute Super Bowl contender in the AFC, but 14's an awful lot to
lose. As bad as the Bengals have been, I think this is one where playing them isn't so much. I mean, the big number is a principal thing, but to me, it's a Chargers letdown spot. Obviously, that win against the Steelers was so huge. The Chargers never do that. In prime time, they always fade, whatever.
Yeah.
They had adversity, and they actually came through and won the game. In a high profile. They hadn't been on Sunday Night Football since 2014. And so with a huge win like that over a fellow playoff contender, I just wouldn't be surprised to see him kind of go through the motions and, suddenly it's a tie game. See the Chargers find a way to win by 6 or 7.
Another high total here, 47.5. What makes me think that Cincinnati's going to be able to get any points to reach that total?
Not sure.
Yeah, 31-10. I mean.
Could be.
So I like the game to go under here, too.
AJ Green's out.
Yeah, AJ Green is out. Tyler Boyd, he's gonna be, and Joe Mixon has
Dalton.
What's
he doing?
Don't know. I know Joe Mixon
doesn't really matter.
Joe Mixon has foot troubles. Gio Bernard is going to be back, but with that, I think this game goes under. I really do. I think it's going to be a close, low scoring vest, and a letdown game, like you said, coming off the big comeback versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lions, Cardinals. Cardinals at home. Lions going on the road, laying 3. Totals 40.5. Cardinals coming off of that big
Lions beat. Cardinals, are we serious right now?
John, I'm talking. It's the worst slate of pro football games I think I've ever seen.
I know.
With a couple exceptions. Gets okay later. Rams, Bears is all right.
That's a good game.
Eagles, Cowboys. But by and large,
Vikings, Seahawks.
Some pretty bad ones in between.
So with that being said, Josh, John, Lions -3 on the road versus the Cardinals. I don't know.
Cardinals.
I want to go there.
Listen,
except for if they hadn't won last week.
Yeah.
If they actually lost, like they were supposed to, even if it was close. I don't like this spot at all. But
the Lions on the road laying points?
I know.
Well,
it's tough.
Arizona, dead last in the NFL in offense. They only average 239 yards a game.
Which is bad.
86 on the ground with maybe the best running back in the NFL.
David Johnson?
Yeah. They average 153 passing. 14.6.
153 passing?
Yeah. 14.6 points a game is what they average. Give me the Lions.
Chargers Chiefs next Thursday? Nice.
Yeah, give me the Lions here, guys. I mean, going on the road, Arizona coming off the big win. You know,
you can have the Lions on the road laying points any day you want it.
That's a fair assessment. I can't really make it.
I mean, let's get real here.
So you want the Cardinals?
I don't want the Cardinals, but I'll take the Cardinals.
All right.
I'm not going to take the Lions laying points on the road.
2.5 on the card. Yeah, give me the Lions plus minus less than a field
If he saw his face right now, he does I'm not believe disgusted. What he's saying.
No, I do. I do. I like the Lions in this spot. Why not?
You don't like the Lions.
I don't like the Cardinals.
You don't like the Cardinals, but you don't
I'm going to bet against the team with the worst offense in the NFL and only have to lay 2.5 points. All That's right. what I'm going to do, Josh.
All right, makes sense. But you're also well within your right to not bet it at all if there's not a good side.
It is very true.
Listen, I'm giving my opinions. I'll have money on this. I'll post okay. it. I'll post it.
I believe
I'll
you.
Post a ticket with the Lions on it. All right, Cowboys, Eagles. Cowboys at home laying 3.5, totals 44. Nick used 3.5 and 43.5 on the half-point card. On the board right now, we have it's 3 minus 3 flat minus 120 on the Cowboys. 44 is the number. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles an outright win. Josh.
I agree. You know what's weird, Ken, it's 3.5 all week. It's too bad it's down to a flat 3 because you could have had 3.5. And all week I was thinking, yeah, Eagles are the value side. For some reason, I've heard quite a few people kind of like the Cowboys. I'm thinking why. The Eagles, it was a must-win spot for them last week against the Redskins. Granted, shorthanded, but they did what they had to. The Cowboys have had that nice run. But this is seriously, yeah. I mean, this is the literal do-or-die stop for Philadelphia. If they don't win, they're out, basically, for a chance to even make the playoffs. Given what happened a few weeks ago when they got the worst of this, they came ready, pretty much unprepared against the Cowboys, and it slapped them. I think they're kind of sleepwalking through that one. Now, given the urgency and everything that's lining up and the Cowboys coming off that win against the Saints, I just feel like this is where it dries up for Dallas and Philadelphia does win.
Yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it as well. It was such a great win, out of character win for them to beat the Saints the way they did on that Thursday night football game.
You just kept waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I mean, yeah.
You just,
they made plays.
There's a couple of times where you just go, okay, New Orleans is going to take this over and cover. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm watching the game, and I just being a Cowboys fan, and I tell you what, our defense is good. We can flat play a little bit of defense.
Yeah,
that linebacker we got from Boise State is good, but
he really is.
By the way, Van Der Esch is looking like a huge pick for them.
Huge pick.
I like how that guy plays.
This is the season for the Eagles, guys. And Dallas, I'm just not convinced yet that Dallas can take control here. If this was a pick, I might take Dallas. But
pressure is firmly on the back of the Cowboys right here.
Absolutely.
Especially if you had, like I said, the early line 3.5, which I think the points may really come into play.
Yes.
I know the Redskins are your supposed biggest rival, but every Cowboy fan I've ever met hates the Eagles more than any other team.
I hear you.
And it's not even close. And what a spot. You think you're finally getting one over on the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions. What a spot for the Eagles just to come in and snatch it right back.
Sure, and get back in the
Carson race. Wentz. I still really believe in Carson Wentz.
Well, so do I.
And with the addition,
remember he was hurt.
With the addition of Golden Tate,
yeah,
you have weapons to spread around now, and I think this is a perfect spot for the Eagles.
Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, I agree with you, John. Ertz, I mean, a lot of weapons right there. I just don't want to buy into the fact that, what's Philadelphia? Let me look at something real quick. I'm going to look up what's Philadelphia defensively. Defensively, Philadelphia is ranked 21st.
Yeah,
21st, and they're giving up 103 yards a game on the ground. So you're probably going to see, obviously, a big dose of Zeke. But with that being said, the Cowboys can't play. Cowboys are not as good as their record. And I'm a Cowboy fan. We're 7-5. I have no idea. Kind of like, I look at Arkansas State. How are they?
Exactly. I agree with you, too. The Cowboys aren't as good as they've looked lately. Or as poor. They're somewhere in between. Because for a while, when they couldn't get anything done, you wondered what was wrong. And I don't think they're as good as their recent streak suggests. But one thing the Eagles haven't proved yet is that they're not as bad as they've looked. And we'll see. But they have no other time than now to figure it out. The only games they've won, come back against a horrible Giants team. And they defeated a marginal Redskins team when the quarterback went down. But now they have no choice but to come up big. I like Wentz as well, Ken. But have you seen – maybe this is just a byproduct of coming back from such a big injury. But there are times against good teams, a good pass rush. I want to point to specifically the Saints game where it looked like he was seeing ghosts. I mean, he was horrible in that game. Yeah, but there are times where, like, basically going down from the imaginary pass rush or rolling out he wasn't in trouble.
The Eli Manning effect.
He got gun shy fast. I wonder, man, is he just feeling the effects of that injury? But when he's well protected and everything, I think he's going to be fine. But he's still not the same.
John?
He's not the same. He was a legit MVP candidate before he blew out his knee last year. And
yeah.
I love
this spot.
Did you
see that Saints game, though? He buckled under
some
pitch. No rush.
For
just
Philly.
Fell to the ground.
He did. It's a perfect spot for Philly, I believe.
I absolutely agree with that. I do.
Yeah.
I think Philly, I'm going to have some teaser money to get him up over a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to have I'm going to have some money line action, too, on Philly to win this game and try and lock up some of that money. So it's kind of what I like, being a Cowboy fan. I tend to think I have a pulse on the team a little bit because I follow them so closely. And just like you said, John, great spot for Philly, not such a good spot for Dallas.
Yep.
Exactly. We talk about momentum games. Look at the win that the Cowboys are coming off of. So there's some, like the Steelers and the Chargers and these letdown games a little bit. We like the Saints because of what happened. I kind of like the Eagles because of what happened, too, versus Dallas. Let's head off to our last commercial break. We come back. We have two more NFL games. Bowl games to talk about, too. This is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back for the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show.
And we're back.
Coming to you live from the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Two more games to handicap in the NFL. Steelers coming off that loss last week, going on the road, laying 10 to the Raiders. Totals 51.5. This Raiders team is bad, John.
Yeah, but they always, always give the Steelers fits, especially in Oakland. This is not a fun matchup. I'm glad that they flexed it out. This was originally the Sunday night game.
Flexed it out, yeah.
Yeah, they just made it a regular game. And I'm not looking forward to this game at all. It's going to be a struggle. 10.5, I'll take the Raiders to keep it close. Steelers win the game. Steelers have to win the game. I'm not looking forward to this at all.
10-point teaser, Josh, and here's my reasoning. I'm going to throw it up to you real quick. Number four offense in the NFL is the Steelers, 413 yards a game. They're averaging 28.3 points a game. And on defense, Pittsburgh's ranked number seven at 328. So, I think that both equate right there to a big effort. Somehow Pittsburgh let that San Diego game get away from them. I think they're going to come. They're going to be fired up. I think the Steelers are definitely headed.
Two in a row they let get away from them.
Yeah. Steelers are definitely headed in the right direction. Raiders definitely headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, Ken, well, they've been headed in the wrong direction for a long
time.
Since
they hired Gruden.
Well, pretty much by design after about the third game. But the Raiders hung in there again last week. They gave a pretty good showing against the Chiefs. What we've seen so far this year is they very likely haven't done it 2 weeks in a row yet. This is a tough spot. Again, 10 points is a lot in the NFL. But I just think it's a good spot for Pittsburgh. First, it's ahead. They won last week. This might be a letdown type of thing. But obviously that game against the Chargers got their attention. And since they really can't afford to have a letdown here, I think the Raiders hang around for a while, but still 10 points. Like you said, maybe a teaser play. I don't like to lay that many points, but I think Pittsburgh wins somewhat comfortably.
Steelers have the Saints and Patriots.
Three-game stretch.
Yeah.
So they can't let this one get away, like you said.
Cannot. It's an absolute must. And the Raiders are such a pain in the ass to the Steelers that it's.
And with that, John, 7-4. The Pittsburgh 7-4 right now, and Baltimore's right on the hills at 7-5. At 7-5.
Yeah. So the Chiefs take care of business. Steelers take care of business. It'll normalize, but it's a scary game, and it's going to be a close game, and I think the Raiders are.
Let's talk real quick, John, about Jalen Samuels and James Conner.
Yeah, Conner's out.
Yeah.
Jalen Samuels, they trust him. He's not going to be an every down feature.
So Ridley will get some carries?
Ridley will get some carries. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot more, utilize Jalen out of the backfield like they've done most of the year. He's really good out of the backfield. And it's Juju. It's A.B.,
Ben,
and it's Vance McDonald.
And Big Ben.
And it's fantastic offensive line. So.
The only thing that scares me a little bit is, as everybody knows, the home road splits with Big Ben. But this is a get-well game. We talk about this all the time, guys. This is a get-well game.
It's
Pittsburgh will be in my sixth team favorite and over parlay, which I bet every week, and I will have Pittsburgh and over. I think Pittsburgh probably gets 40-plus points this week.
The home road splits are weird because Ben, yeah, takes a step back, but the Steelers don't lose on the road. They just don't.
You're right. They just don't cover either. It's weird.
Yeah,
they find
exactly.
a way to win, usually.
They usually do, and as lousy as Ben can be, especially against the Raiders. I don't get it. It drives me insane. Chris Carr, I know you're listening. I hate you. But it's a scary, scary game for the Steelers here. But they're going to win the game.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. So
you have the Saints. They're both at home. Saints and Patriots coming back to back. Come on.
Yeah, and they know this, and Tomlin knows that we can't let this game get away. I mean, you absolutely cannot. They bury this team. This team gets buried tomorrow.
Let's hope so.
Vikings Monday night traveling to Seattle. Seattle laying 3, totals 45. You know, this is a team that earlier in the year I really thought the Seattle was a bad football team. I thought they were not going to compete for anything. And here they have, you know, I think they're the leader in the NFC for the wild card spot with 7 wins. Yeah, they are. Everybody else has 6. So Seattle's right there, guys. I mean, but this Minnesota team, shouldn't they be better than they are?
Totally.
I mean, this
can.
Team is just – I don't understand this Minnesota Viking team.
Right, and they're in the NFC wild card hunt as well, but back. So this is do or die for them because they pretty much have to make up ground right away in order to get in there. You're right, Seattle's been better than expected because, remember, their season win total was 7.5, so one more, and they'll clip the over. And, yeah, I didn't expect them to be a disaster. I knew who they were losing. But, like I said, they're kind of breaking up the whole Legion of Boom and all that. That was by design. They thought some of those guys had left a step. Some were overpaid. And for a long time, their whole payroll was dominated by defense. And they're still okay. They've got Wagner. They've got some decent, you know, defensive players left. And Russell Wilson carrying the offense. But having said that, there's been some value on Seattle all year in some of the spreads because they were probably underappreciated here. I think it's Vikings time with the points.
In Seattle?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I know it's tough to win there, but it's one of those things where I think they'd be so desperate. To me, it's similar to the angle we're all taking on the Eagles. With the Vikings, I feel like if they don't show up now, they never will. So
that's true. Like Kenny said, I expected more out of the Vikings, and I expected way less out of the Seahawks. I think it's been Pete Carroll's best coaching job, honestly. And Russell Wilson's just – he's so hard to defend with every tool that he has, and he's so smart, and he's a unique player. He really, and that's why I think guys like Kyler Murray will
have still close to all they've got.
Yeah,
they still don't have anything
really,
much in the way of a running
really
game.
Is.
They keep losing just, receivers.
It's really impressive to me as much defense as they've lost. I mean, superstars. Cam Chancellor.
Right.
Richard Sherman. Are you kidding me? Earl Thomas. It's just and
like
they,
Michael Bennett.
And they've been able to just to weather the storm and have themselves in great position here. I can't go against the Seahawks in Seattle. I just can't. Especially with the Vikings. You don't know what you're going to get from the Vikings from week to week.
I was just going to say that. Isn't there a time where you just think that a team just comes up and they just step up? I mean, I think Seattle's been playing pretty good football lately, and I don't think Minnesota has.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great spot for Minnesota to go up into Seattle and get a win. I think Minnesota's going to be in this game. I think Minnesota can win this game. You know, Dalvin Cook's coming up. You know, he was on the shelf for a lot of the year. Now he's back. He's healthy. You got Thielen. You got Diggs. You got Rudolph. You know,
now or never motivation wise.
You got a good pitcher, and they have the lead for the wild card because they do have a tie this year, Josh. So even though they only have 6 wins, they're tied with everybody else. They're 6-5-1. So there is percentage points. There are percentage points better than the other teams with 6 wins.
Okay.
With that being said, guys, I think Seattle goes up there. Right, excuse me. I think Minnesota goes out there and gets a win. I really do.
Tony Parker's on the Hornets. It's news to me. Sorry.
So that's the NFL slate. We're going to give our best 3 picks a little bit later, right in the last minute of the show, which we'll post on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. You can get Josh Nagle's stuff still at Josh Nagle 1. Progressive parlay, let's talk about that, Josh and John. They rolled in the college money a couple of weeks ago. Last week there was 6 dogs that won outright, so it didn't get hit. Biggest total this year, is it not, at $116,000? $114,870. But, John, we talked about it.
And they get hit this week.
I don't think it's getting hit either. I'll still have $100 in it. I'll have 20 cards trying to hope to catch lightning in a bottle and play some of these upsets just because I'm not going to leave it on the table. But with that being said, I'm with you, John. I think it goes to 150 next week.
It's got to. I mean, it's – although it also represents a week where – you could hit it just because it's so wet.
By yourself.
Yeah.
If you came up with some obscure combinations.
Yeah, if you're picking, like, the Raiders to beat the Steelers.
You got to be the one person with the Bengals.
Yeah, exactly. The Bengals, exactly. It's nuts. I don't even – I'm going to be playing it. I'll play a couple of them. I ain't going to play 20 of them. Like, hotshot Kenny over here, but
well, we have.
Yeah, it's a tough card. But even a milder upset like the Ravens, you know, that's gonna kill 90% of the cards.
It's rough.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of these games that can go either way. I mean, look at this progressive card. You know, you have the Ravens Chiefs. The Ravens very well could win that game. I think the Colts could upset the Titans. I think the Browns could beat the Panthers. I think the Falcons can beat the Packers. I mean, the Jets can beat the Bills.
No way can the Jets beat the Bills.
Bears can beat the Rams. Redskins can beat the Giants. These are all dogs.
Is Lomachenko on there?
Eagles can beat the Cowboys. I mean, the Vikings can beat Seattle.
Josh, did you watch the fight last week?
No. Oh, which one? Oh, the heavyweight?
Fury and
Let's
Wilder.
Talk about that real quick.
I did watch it, yes.
And?
What do you think?
I mean, I thought the fight as a whole was overrated. People talk about it was a great fight. I thought it was horribly boring, except for a couple exchanges. The whole thing with Wilder knocking him down and he came back up like
he undertaked that guy. He undertaked him.
You know what? If you watch it closely, Fury was Hollywooding the whole time. He wasn't hurt. He was very lucky it wasn't stopped. But look at him. He's got complete control. He's breathing fine. I mean, he's lucky he just wasn't stopped because he closed his eyes. When he gets back up and the ref say walk to
me, he beat him the rest of the round.
He had no wobbly legs. Like, yeah, it was just that he took a shot. But the whole
thought he was done.
You're watching it live. That's it. But then upon repeated watching, you realize Fury for some reason was just milking it. He was fine. The decision, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I don't think it was as lopsided as most people think. A draw didn't bother me.
I personally don't think that they did enough to call it a draw. Wilder knocked him down twice,
I don't think
Fury did enough to win the rest of the rounds. I didn't see it.
Johnny. I agree. And some of the non-action rounds, you have the champion. There were some rounds that weren't a lot of action, but I thought Wilder was the aggressor. He deserves those rounds. So I don't think it was a robbery, but.
Yeah, it wasn't a robbery.
The champion knocked him down twice. Right?
I bet Wilder
and didn't get hurt.
I bet Wilder, so I got my money back. But I wasn't expecting to. I thought Fury won the fight, but he outpointed him. But he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, I'm with you, Don. I mean, I absolutely agree with that.
So a draw seems pretty good thing to do there.
Yeah, and he did fine. And like I said, Fury's boxing skills were pretty decent, stick and move. I mean, he was effective in that regard. But it's one of those things, if you watch enough boxing, it will drive you nuts with Deontay Wilder. But with that, whenever he was an aggressor and went in, Fury wasn't hard to find. It's like, why didn't you do that more? You knocked him down twice, but yeah, he was satisfied to do that kind of that dance for the most part. All right, yeah. Wilder has himself to blame.
We got 30 seconds. We have to give out our picks. I'm going to give out the Eagles, the San Francisco-Denver game under, Rams, Skins, and the over in the Pat game tonight. Kid's going to give out the Giants and Washington under, Miami, Dallas, and Seattle. We'll post these on our Facebook page at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. John.
Eagles.
Philly.
Raiders. Seahawks. ASU covers tonight, but Pack wins by 4.
All right, Josh.
All right, I'll go Vikings, Eagles, Bears.
Vikings.
Got a lot of Eagles out here.
Philly and Chicago. Wow, that's crazy. All right, we'll post these on our Facebook page, like I said, at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping.
Army.
The Wolfpack plays at 9, laying 6 against ASU, totals 162. We'll see you next week, same time on ESPN, 94.5 FM.